Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of November 23rd, 2015. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, good. So, D.R., this has been a bit of an eventful week on the political front, particularly here in Massachusetts. As backdrop, everyone should know that Massachusetts for the last 6 months or so has had a political discussion, debate about legislation that affects the solar industry. Mm-hmm. And just to bring everyone up to speed, in the solar industry, the installation of solar panels, particularly on large sort of commercial installations, not so much people's homes, but in commercial installations, it's a big business in Massachusetts. And much of the financial justification, the thing that makes the projects go, is what's called a net metering, as the sense that if you produce electricity on a your solar panel, you can sell it back to the utility. And of course, that's money. That net metering money has a cap or a limit as to how much can be spent in the state. And because of the success of the solar industry, we're approaching the cap on the net metering payout. And if we hit that cap, all of a sudden there'll be many commercial scale solar installations that are no longer financially justifiable and the industry begins to collapse. Did I get that right, DR?
Yes, that's a fair way to characterize it, I would say.
And so our friends in the State House have been, I don't know, what have they been doing? They have not been acting with a clarity and briskness. They have dilly-dallied around for 6 months, and now the end of the session has come. And the other day, kind of out of the blue, the Massachusetts House of Representatives passed a bill that was basically, very friendly to the utilities, right? And it basically cut many of the net metering caps to a point where the solar industry is, you might consider, in danger here in Massachusetts. Did I get that right, DR?
Yes, that was a bill passed last week by the Massachusetts House. The bill would increase the cap on the financial incentives given to solar energy projects, according to the Springfield Republican, but would change, actually cut, I believe, the amount of the payments. It was widely seen as just a bill that would essentially gut and for all intents and purposes, kill off the solar industry in Massachusetts. And it reportedly came after reportedly heavy lobbying by various pro-dirty energy groups and the major utilities in the Bay State.
And so the state of play now is the following, that the Massachusetts State Senate, the other body in our bicameral legislature, the Senate, I guess last summer, passed a much more attractive bill that granted more net metering credits to the solar industry. Mm-hmm. And now, as is the custom or the process, the bill passed the bad bill passed in the House and the somewhat better but not great bill passed in the Senate has to go to a committee meeting between the two bodies, and they hash out a compromise, which then has to be voted on. And it turns out that committee basically failed in its first attempt to come to an agreement, and so now the whole thing's dead in the water until the special session begins sometime soon.
Yes, essentially they couldn't hash out a deal in the conference committee, and according to the Globe, it could, quote, delay any agreement at least until formal sessions resume in January of 2016, if not until much later in the year. So basically the solar industry is for all intents and purposes, in limbo until then. Right. This despite the fact that you need as much solar as possible, as much clean energy as possible to sort of offset what we're likely to lose in terms of energy as a result of the impending shutdown of the Pilgrim nuclear power plant.
Right. And so if you live in Massachusetts You should call your state senator and representative and give them a little bit of heck about what's going on, because I think even the Senate bill is not that great. It's better, but it's not great. It doesn't embrace the kind of changes that we need. So you can find out how to call your state rep or state senator, even the governor. I think you type in wheredoivote.gov, right? And that's a website, I think, that shows you by zip code who your state rep is and how to get in touch with them. And again, if you're in Massachusetts, call them up and tell them what you think, because this is not a happy chapter right now. And we need to enforce with these politicians that we want the net metering caps to be high and, in fact, increased so that the solar industry can survive and prosper here. Not because I'm a shill for the solar industry, but because it's good all the way around, right?
And in fact, the hotline, so to speak, to contact your state representative or senator is 617-722-2000, and then you can just provide information, and they'll lead you to who your state representative and state senator are.
All right. So everybody, get out your pencils and your pads. Say that number again, dear.
It's 617-722-2000.
617-722-2000. That's the State House switchboard, and they will send you to your guy. Okay. There you go. Go forth and slay dragons, everybody. Mm-hmm. So then the other much better thing that happened this week came from the Attorney General's office. Right here in the state of Massachusetts, the Attorney General is not appointed by the governor. In this case, she is one of four statewide offices that are all independently elected. Right? There's the governor, lieutenant governor, Attorney General, Treasurer, right?
I think there was and Secretary of State, I believe.
The Secretary of State, right? Those guys all have their own political base, and they get elected on their own, right? And they're not beholden to anybody. And so the Attorney General Healy, her first name's Maura Healy, right? Okay, Maura Healy, our new Attorney General, commissioned a report, a new Massachusetts Attorney General, commissioned a study by a respected consulting firm to assess the question of whether or not Massachusetts needs new natural gas pipelines, much like the natural gas pipelines, DR, you and I have talked about a lot. There's the Northeast Direct pipeline across the top of the state, and there's the Algonquin pipeline across the bottom of the state. Both of those, the Attorney General asked, is that something we want to do? Does that make sense? And so, DR, can you tell me, what did the Attorney General say?
Well, the study found that, according to the Globe, the state can meet its energy needs and lower costs without building new pipelines. Essentially, if we increase energy efficiency and encourage electricity users to scale back their use when demand and prices are high, that would save consumers $146 million a year through 2030, and savings from increasing the supply of natural gas through expanded pipelines would only save $133 million a year. And Healy noted that the study demonstrates that we do not need increased gas capacity to meet electrical reliability needs, and that electric ratepayers shouldn't foot the bill for additional pipelines, and that cost effectiveness and energy efficiency will be able to solve the energy problems in Massachusetts.
Which is an argument that we have made, has been made many times, is that we don't need these pipelines for Massachusetts, right? Mm-hmm. We can just do it through energy efficiency and these sort of demand management. But she also snuck in that thing that you just said, is that the Massachusetts ratepayers should not be footing the bill for this big pipeline that we don't need, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so, I mean, what do you think there's going to be much consequence? I mean, the feedback I've gotten from activists who are trying to stop these pipelines is they're very happy to have the support of the Attorney General in a bona fide study, right?
Mm-hmm. And of course, as you might imagine, Kinder Morgan and some of the other pro fracked gas companies are raising holy hell over the study, you know, making nonsensical allegations of bias and basically, you know, whining and moaning and doing their usual thing. But I think they can be justifiably ignored, because I think the study is fairly comprehensive, very comprehensive, and basically makes a compelling and, I would argue, irrefutable point that we do not need any new natural gas pipelines in the state.
Well, and I think that Maura Healy has made the case that this consulting firm is independent, has worked for both energy interests and all kinds of people. And so this is This is a report. We'll put up a link to the report. You can peruse it yourself. I'm sure it's compelling reading. But the bottom line is that it basically vindicates and validates the kinds of arguments that have been made by the opponents of pipelines. And it's good to have that sort of data in hand, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Good news, bad news, right? Solar is in trouble. We need to help it. The Attorney General has done a good thing for the pipeline activists, and they ought to be supported by everyone everywhere. But then there's the third curious case of the investor state dispute settlement thing, DR. Mm-hmm. So let me set that one up. As you all know, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is this trade TPP, the trade deal with the countries. This very nasty clause called the investor-state dispute settlement, which is essentially this extra-legal tribunal by which a corporation can sue a country for loss of expected profits, not even real profits, just expected profits. So given that, plus the fact that President Obama recently rejected the Keystone XL pipeline, tell me, DR, what's the fallout of all of that?
The fallout comes from David Dayen of the New Republic, who recently made an appearance on Brad Friedman's broadcast, where he noted that there are reports, and I guess an additional speculation besides those reports, that TransCanada, the owner of KXL, is planning to exploit the investor state dispute settlement if the TPP is passed to basically claim that as a result of President Obama's veto of Keystone XL, they've lost expected profits. And according to Dayen, this would essentially create a situation whereby the government would have a choice between paying out the money that TransCanada claims it lost, or the government will simply, a future president would simply reverse the decision and allow the Keystone XL pipeline to go through. David Dayen further explained that under the terms of the ISDS, if, for example, the U.S. Congress passed federal carbon pricing legislation, ExxonMobil, for example, and other oil companies could say, we're losing profits as a result of that. We want to be reimbursed for the profits we've lost. And instead of reimbursing it, the Congress would simply pass a new law rescinding the carbon tax. So basically, according to Dayen, the ISDS cannot kill legislation. It can simply create the circumstances. It can create the climate, if you will, for killing legislation that is intended to protect the climate.
Right, it's an intimidation mechanism, and what's truly frightening, if you're an American citizen, is that these decisions, this investor-state dispute settlement, is not in a U.S. court. It is in a separate tribunal set up by the TPP, where there's a panel of three people, right, with no rules about what people get on that panel, without any sort of precedent or the rule of law in terms of referring to previous precedents and all that kind of stuff. It's not an American court, yet America has agreed to be subject to it as part of the TPP. Mm-hmm. So it's just one more. It's a very explicit case of the thing that environmentalists have been warning about for the TPP, is that a big a company like TransCanada could sue the United States over the expected loss of profits because they didn't get to build the Keystone XL pipeline. That should tell you why the TPP is so controversial, and you may want to call your senator to explain what you think about the TPP, right?
Exactly. It is an illogical deal, and when you realize how it can be used to sort of sabotage good legislation, it just makes it all the more illogical.
Right. Oh dear, what a world. I'm not very good at imitating the Wicked Witch from The Wizard of Oz, but there you go. That's
my
best.
And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Somewhere over the rainbow, there's green energy. Okay, DR, we'll have to let it go there. Everyone, you can get to the links of most of what we talked about at the blog. It's massclimateaction.net/blog. Please leave us a comment. Let us know what you think. You can find us on Facebook at /MassClimateAction. You can listen to us directly on your smartphone using Stitcher or TuneIn Radio. You can find us on iTunes, where we are. You look for Massachusetts Climate Action. So we'll close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it is our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the United States put a price on carbon. So thank you very much for being here, DR.
Thanks.
Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, everyone out there. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us. And until next time, be green.
Very cool.